All right, guys. This is Rob again, and you know me. I like to throw back. So, today's episode, we're throwing back. Let's go. All right, all of you Alter Universe fans, nerds, geeks, and fandom peoples, whatever. It's Rob from Alter Universe, the podcast, and we are going to go back in time to our childhood. Either disturb you or not, we'll see. But of course, we can never do these videos alone. We have to have our best nerd and geek buddies around. So today we have all the way from Geek Freaks, the awesome Frank. Say hello to the world.
Hello, everybody.
And thanks to him, because I had some issues on my end. He is recording for me, so thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's what we nerds got to do. We stick together, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so if you guys have been listening, I've been doing a lot of throwbacks on some kind of weird, disturbing kid stuff. But today, we're actually going to be a little nicer on you. We're going to talk about a cartoon that, to this day, like many of them, is probably still a cult classic. I've watched it, or I've been watching it. Frank here told me he's got to start watching some episodes again because it's been so long. We're going to talk about the infamous Tom and Jerry. So I say those two names, and off the bat, what do you think?
Classic cat and mouse.
Classic cat and mouse. There you go. So I think what made this cartoon, at least for me, fun was no words were needed. No plot really was needed. It was just kind of funny watching the two of these guys run around and go at it and I guess injure each other. Which is really what you want to teach children, right? To beat the crap out of your friends. So for those who haven't, and I'd be shocked to know if anybody hasn't watched this cartoon, the premise each episode is pretty much the same. Cat Tom and Mouse Jerry go back and forth. Usually Jerry is, you know, annoying the hell out of Tom, and Tom tries to, I'm guessing, eat the mouse, but never does. Because, hey, it is a kid's show, so...
That would be the finale.
There you go. So today we're going to go over five episodes that we think are just kind of fun. No particular reason or order, just because we say so and our word goes, right?
Sounds good.
All right. So first episode up is called, we're going to talk about, it's called Southbound Duckling. And this actually is one of the episodes where Jerry usually gets a friend. I've noticed that Jerry seems to know many animals in the area and just makes friends with everybody. And this particular one, the duck named Quacker, is flying south for the winter, but eventually I think ends up getting lost in between and ends up at Tom and Jerry's home. Mm-hmm. Chaos ensues. And of course, Tom looks at it as having two meals in one. So not only is he trying to get Jerry, but he's going after Quacker's the duck as well. One reason I like this one a lot, I put on the list, is because I like when they add in other characters to cartoons. Do you think that's a plus or a minus when it comes to a cartoon like this, having more than just the two main characters?
It's not only a plus, but it's a bit of a staple actually for Tom and Jerry, especially a friend of Jerry's. That happens often.
So we're in agreement. Then yeah, it's definitely a plus to doing that. Just so before we forget, all these cartoons were written by Hanna-Barbera, which was the company that made all these cartoons as well. And it seems like, directed by. So it seems like everything was pretty much written the same way, which could explain why every episode was pretty much no different than the next, other than maybe the scene in the background. I just thought I'd throw that out there really quick. So chaos ensues. Tom is, you know, catapulted and stuff gets thrown at him and whatever. Jerry has had other friends, which we may talk about in other episodes. I'm not sure. Is it purposeful that all of these friends that he has seems to be like baby versions of the animals, or is it just how it works?
Well, I think it's twofold. First of all, it's just adorable. And second of all, I think it's because then they're both prey to Tom. The enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. So I think they'll alliance themselves against Tom.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. At the end of this particular episode, when they finally get out of the way, we see Quackers and Jerry sunbathing on Miami Beach after taking an airplane to Florida. So, of course, we know that all these episodes, even as rude as they are to each other, nobody actually really seems to ever get injured, and everybody usually ends up being okay. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, it is a kid's cartoon. I guess you can't really be that mean. Yeah, I don't know.
If you want to see like an adult version of Tom and Jerry, it's Itchy and Scratchy. You remember, you know of Itchy and Scratchy from Simpsons?
There you go. Okay.
Yeah. Which they're never in good shape after those.
That's true. And it's funny because it makes me think of the one time they actually worked together was the Halloween episode where they try to go after Bart and Lisa after being transported into their cartoon world.
What a classic.
So you kind of know that they're friends. You just never see them actually being friendly to each other.
Right, yeah.
So, you know. So it looks like, let's see. So just a couple quick facts. The WB Kids YouTube channel presents these cartoons in a compilation. So if you guys actually want to watch these but don't have streaming, you can actually go online now and find them all. Which is interesting to me because a lot of times I'm noticing, you know, when I'm trying to, you know, update my digital TV show library, you really actually have to buy a lot of these old shows. So the fact that YouTube is putting together free cartoons, how are they, you know, with your best guess, obviously neither of us are in this business, but if your best guess, why do you think WB and whatnot is okay, or I'm sorry, Hanna-Barbera is okay with them giving these away for free, when you would think that Hanna-Barbera's role is to make as much money as they can?
Well, a lot of times on the streaming platform, you have additional features such as, you know, redone higher definition versions, or they'll have commentary. And then if you get a YouTube version, they're still getting paid for the YouTube version because it's based off of, you know, views and clicks and stuff. But it's kind of the standard older version. So you could like, oh, I want to see these, but man, I really love Tom and Jerry. Let me upgrade to the paid service so I can get the better version of them.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. And what's cool, what I researched was, is you actually get to watch these guys in the original, what it's called, CinemaScope. Which is pretty cool, I guess. Now, like I was telling you before we got on here, I have Boomerang channel, so I get to watch them. And it's funny because at the beginning, it's that old school. It's got the lion roaring, so they even have the MGM logo, and everything is really old school, which leads me to believe that the channels, you know, the company purposely wants you to watch these cartoons how it was supposed to be watched when it first came out. Funny enough, just as a side note, connected, I was watching Beauty and the Beast the other day, the animated version, and even though it was the original movie, you definitely know that for the Disney Plus service, they have cleared up a lot of the color to make it look better. So even though you're watching an old movie, you're watching, for all purposes, a new version of an old movie. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool, right? I mean, that you can still see Tom and Jerry in what I guess is the OG form.
Yeah, it's how they originally intended for you to watch it, so it's kind of cool to see it that way. Even with like the audio, sometimes they'll make sure it's the original audio, which has, you know, the little pops and stuff like that, that older technology, that's the best they can do. And it's kind of nice to hear that again sometimes.
So there you go. So in a way, even though sometimes it's kind of annoying because you hear these weird stuff, I like it because I get to be old school and relive my childhood as it should be.
Right, yeah.
All right, so coming up for number two is one of the funniest ones I remember seeing. It's called Royal Catnap. And the premise is basically Jerry and his little mouse buddy, Tuffy, one of his other buddies, tries to wake up the king, who says that if he wakes up one more time, he's going to skin Jerry or Tom alive. And the entire time, Tom is trying to make sure no noise is made in the entire room where the king is sleeping. I'm going to say this reminds me of a skit that somebody like Abbott and Costello or would do in live action. Do you think Hanna-Barbera may have taken some ideas from real comedy to create these episodes?
No doubt. They do that often, actually. Like there's one based off of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They always pull from other sources of fiction.
Okay, so realistically speaking, this probably was one of the few that was really taken off of what I guess you call it, like, slapstick comedy,
where there's which is so popular back then.
Exactly. there's physical comedy there, you know, like there's the noise. So literally this, because as you know, some of the episodes you will hear Tom speak, you hear Spike the dog speak. Yeah. This is one of the few where I believe there really is no vocal noise whatsoever, as far as I know, because the entire thing is basically cups breaking and the door mm-hmm. slamming. So literally all of the noise is taken off of physical things.
Right.
So throughout the entire thing, stuff like teacups falling, you know, that at one point Tom puts earplugs in his ears, and then Jerry puts one in his mouth, which basically turns the king's face blue because he can't breathe. And Tom has to then go jump on the king, which wakes him up once again. So there's a lot of slapsticky kind of things, which for a cartoon, now, again, this was released in 1958. So I guess it would be understandable for that time period, right? I mean, if you did that on a cartoon today, it probably wouldn't be as funny, correct?
Well, yeah, it was a whole different thing. And even the audience was different because a lot of these were short cartoons, one-reel cartoons that you would have before another movie, or like two of these would be put together and would be the reason you went to the theater. So they were kind of like, your mom and dad were laughing at these just as much as the young kids were. The audience was much different. It was, everybody was enjoying it. And so they had to have, you know, something that was enjoyable for the kids, something that was easy to read for the kids, and yet something that was still resonating with the adults, which was, you know, this slapstick kind of genre that we've seen everywhere else.
And that's perfect. And I think what makes Tom and Jerry funny generally is, even though, yeah, again, I'm not really one to see things being beat up, but I think that's what made Tom and Jerry funny, was that poor Tom was always getting used and abused by this little mouse. And, you know, I guess you're right. I guess the time was different. It was a different sort of funny than it would be today, I guess.
And half the fun with too was, well, Tom was always getting beaten up. Jerry was always just cool. Like, he was always the cool guy, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times you'll see him with a little top hat skewed to the side, and you're like, yeah, he was the Frank Sinatra of the two of them. You know, he was a cool guy, which was resonating a lot for a lot of that audience as well.
Now, and I know there's a few, like there were some movies made afterward and some other ones and some other version of Tom and Jerry where they kind of worked together. Mm-hmm. And I'll just a quick little side note there. Do you think that those ones were as funny and good as the originals? Or do you think it was just kind of like spinoffs are always made, so they're going to make a spinoff no matter what?
Well, yeah, again, yeah, it's a totally different audience. So they tried to be funny for that audience. But to me, it's not, just because the original Tom and Jerry are classics. And so when you watch anything that's not Tom and Jerry trying to be Tom and Jerry, it feels false. And so it's just like, I'd rather be watching the classics, you know?
That's fair. Now, on this one, funny enough, somebody found on the Tom and Jerry fandom page that there's a scene where Tom gets ready to skewer Jerry when he points to Tuffy dropping a vase. But instead of Tuffy, Jerry is shown dropping the vase, though it could be because of a miscoloration. So, you know, I guess that happens in animation. It maybe it was somebody's mess up. Maybe somebody colored the wrong mouse. Or maybe they just weren't paying attention and it just got sent through to, you know, TV without somebody checking their work. This isn't really, I mean, to me, I could care less. I'm sure you would care less as well. This isn't really something that's really angered by people or from people, right? Like, most people probably wouldn't even notice.
It's probably a factor of crunch, which we're seeing now in the gaming community, but back then existed big time in animation. Every cell was drawn separately of Iwerks, which is basically the real founder of Disney, Disney everything. Famously worked for like 14, 15 hours straight sometimes to get a clip out in time. So these guys are working nonstop, and I'm sure at a certain point the colors start to mix together, and even they were like, yeah, that was Jerry, I promise. It just kept coloring them gray or brown. So, you know, I'm sure that happened all the time.
That's true. I'm sure that is very true. Okay, so moving on to our third one, and this one, and again, this actually particular one was just kind of the first one that came up, but there's many versions of the opera in this show. We're going to go over just one such one called Carmen Get It. It's a mixture of, it's basically a play on words of the opera Carmen and the phrase come and get it. Yeah. So as you remember, there were many times where Tom and Jerry were at the opera, either singing, playing, or doing something.
Yeah.
This is one of those few times. This particular one, though, I believe, instead of them being on stage, I believe Tom and Jerry are kind of running around backstage while the opera is going. And of course, hilarity ensues with the instruments, with the conductor, with Tom being thrown around by the people because they're like, oh, there's a cat on the stage, go throw him. Not being a fan of opera myself, and I don't know if you are either, this seems a little odd of a choice for a group of kids at the time who probably didn't know much opera either.
I gotta say right now, totally disagree. And now let me explain. This is perfect for the audience that's watching this movie, this show, because again, it's the whole family going. And if you were going to the movies, you're probably middle class to low class in the spectrum of economics. And the opera was kind of that highfalutin, high dollar kind of thing. So you were watching rich people being made fun of basically with a cat and a mouse. So it was perfect because it was kind of like making fun of the rich people that you were, you know, never being able to aspire to. It was poking fun at them, I think.
Okay, that's a fair assessment. That's a fair assessment. Because I always wonder when you put stuff in there that may not be. And again, I don't remember what I was thinking when I was watching this at what, like, you know, 10.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I would only think because, you know, even to this day, I'm not into opera at any anyway. Right. But I would think at that time, I was like, I really wouldn't have really known what opera was other than maybe just the word or maybe, you know, somebody saying, oh, you know, opera is this kind of music. But I guess from your point of view of what you're saying, for the sheer, if I understood right, for the sheer enjoyment is more than enough, I guess.
Because when they're doing these, because there's quite a few of them where they take place in some sort of opera setting or, you know, concerto or something like that. And the general premise is it's always kind of either in the foreground or background, over-exaggerating the opera and like, oh, look at the silly people singing on the stage that look ridiculous. And it's just kind of making fun of a class that is not their own. So it's kind of like, oh, look at these rich people. They watch stupid people dressed with horns on their helmets singing, you know. And so they're kind of making fun of it. And even like the Cat Concerto, one of my favorite episodes, is all about, you know, Tom trying to be a respectful pianist. And then Jerry's just horsing around with him. And it kind of harkens to the fact that like, hey, we're just here watching a movie. And yet those rich guys, my boss is over there watching some dude play piano. Imagine a mouse messing with him. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it kind of makes fun of the richer people.
All right. I'll give that to you. As as you're saying that, I'm like picturing these cartoons so differently now. Like now I got to go back and rewatch them all. So some interesting notes about this one. There was actually a lot of real life things that took place in here, or at least were spoofed off. The conductor in this particular one was actually characterized after a famous Italian conductor, probably going to mispronounce his name, Arturo Toscanini, who in real life had a violent temper and in this cartoon was portrayed as being very angry. So it's always funny when they, you know, spoof real people. And secondly, the opera house in New York City, the Metropolitan Opera House, wasn't actually finished at the time of this airing. So the cartoonist used the architect's renderings to draw the opera house. So what you're seeing was actually may or may not have been the final building, but it was actually, since it wasn't done, they actually used the guy's artwork to draw the cartoon. So that's kind of neat, I think, right?
No, yeah, that's extra effort. That's awesome.
A couple other things too. A lot of the track audio in this one was used in multiple other ones. For instance, Carmen's scream was used in other episodes, as well as some other music that was used in various episodes as well, which again, like we said before, this is all regular stuff. And you know, you want to make your word smarter, work smarter, not harder, right? If you already have something done, why not reuse it if you can? Because it's already done. Why put yourself in extra effort if you don't have to?
Very normal for animation for that to happen too.
Exactly. Now, a funny thing about this, and we're not going to go too detailed because this is a family show, but apparently on one channel that showed this, they removed the image of the Carmen character because of the way she was drawn. Let's just say a little too anatomically correct.
Okay. I like that. Yeah.
Again, this was a different time of TV. So they probably weren't focusing too much on worrying about people's opinions.
Well, it was originally aired in the theater. So it was, you know,
Well, there you go. Okay, there you go. So yeah, just a little side note there. And again, what I'm noticing as we're talking is a lot of the stuff goes back to general common sense. Some of the stuff, because of the time frame, you can or cannot do. At that time, there was no problem. Now, rules have changed. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Okay, so next one up, you actually kind of spoke of a little while ago. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Mouse. And of course, classic. I put this on here because I'm a fan of the classic, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which this was obviously spoofed from. If I remember correctly, it looks like Jerry somehow drinks out of this weird potion concoction and kind of ends up getting two personalities, just like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
Again, another very clever use of previous classics used in other classics. Mm-hmm. I notice a lot of people use this book in other platforms. So like, you know, many science fiction TV shows and many other versions of movies have used Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Or a spinoff of it, like Hulk and Bruce Banner. It's the same thing.
There you go. There you go. So that being said, is this kind of a cop-out thing because it's easy to do? Or do you think at the time it was written or drawn, it was done because the book was still more popular than it was, than it is today, maybe?
No, I honestly think it's all good. So you either have people who are familiar with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, which is very popular, and they were just like, oh, that's funny. It's off of Dr. Jekyll. Just like if you're to watch Saturday Night Live now, a lot of things you see are like, oh, that's funny. They're making fun of something I've already known. Or it's introducing them to the idea of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And in that case, if they take interest, they'll actually go out and, you know, go to the library and pick up the book. That'd be good for both ways.
Okay, that's fair. So as the episode goes on, we find that, you know, you, at the end of it, of course, to make it funny, Tom ends up getting really tiny. Jerry takes advantage of this and, you know, starts throwing him around kind of as a revenge of all the times that Tom was throwing, you know, Jerry around. So what's cool about this one, though, when I was doing research, is that this was one of three that was actually nominated for an Academy Award Best Short. It lost out to Warner Brothers cartoon. But I don't think this day and age they do that as much as far as animated shorts go. I don't think cartoons are in the running anymore. Am I correct, you think?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a tough one.
Like, I know animated movies kind of, and animated film gets nominated, but as far as cartoons, I don't know if this like, is a... I'm sorry?
Pixar shorts are still competing. So there is an animated short category that does compete, and it's usually going to a Pixar project. It's just not as celebrated as I think it used to be.
Okay, so really nowadays, it's the bigger companies that get the prize. Like,
yeah.
Even though Hanna-Barbera is still huge, because Tom and Jerry is old at this point, it's never going to be up in the running like it would have been. But the fact that it was, that's kind of neat, because I don't remember a lot of... I believe, Looney Tunes, I think, usually took the cake, because Looney Tunes at that point, I think, was still more popular than any other cartoon series, I believe.
Oh, of course. Yeah, for sure. I love Looney Tunes.
Okay, so a couple other funny trivias. Monster Jerry, when he becomes the Jekyll character, appeared later, decades, in a video game titled Tom and Jerry in War of the Whispers. So again, use the same animation, work smarter, not harder. You know, why not? I don't think I played the video games, but I'm not shocked that there were multiple video games with these characters, because it's Tom and Jerry. You know, why wouldn't you have at least one?
Yeah, I played it. I know I rented it at Blockbuster. I'm pretty sure I played that one. I'm pretty
sure. Now you're aging us. Not just. I'm just kidding. Okay, so you think you might have played it before?
I'm almost positive. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, so another thing we talked about earlier, the title was a pun off of The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. This is kind of a fun fact. I don't know if anybody can find this. Upload it. Let me know. Apparently, there are title footage of the black and white frames, not the color, that somebody found but were taken off later. This was back in 2018. So that's kind of cool. That shows me that, I think you said this earlier, they really put the time into doing the work. Obviously, now I don't know what the rules go. I don't know if they have to make a black and white and a color just to see which one looks better. But obviously, somebody somewhere made a black and white version of part of the cartoon, to the fact where obviously then obviously the pictures had to be somewhere. So, you know.
Yeah, there's a good chance that when it was originally aired on television, like if they were to take the theater work, put it on television, it had to be put to black and white for that, and then eventually was able to go to, because I think they could do color in theaters before they could do color in on television. And I remember when Disney's made that switch. And so I think there was probably a moment where they were like having to be black and white for TV, and then eventually could upgrade those all to color as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I get what you're saying. Okay. Okay, cool. Lastly, under trivia, this episode is similar to a Mickey Mouse cartoon called The Worm Turns, where Mickey makes a potion to make small people big. So again, probably also focusing on the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde aspect over there. Yeah. You know, and the more I think about it, the more I think you're right. If it's easy to do, why not do it? And yeah. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde are probably two of the easiest characters to use in different formations. And actually, you hit the nail on the head. The Banner Hulk in Marvel Comics, probably equal classic to the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde right there.
Yeah. Science experiment gone wrong. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So one quick error that somebody found. Apparently, a book that Tom uses to hit Jerry is yellow on the shelf, but when he grabs it, it becomes green.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you going to do?
Oh, yeah.
Lastly, on our list, we're going to do the episode called Puss Gets the Boot. Basically, this one I put on because they actually had different names in this particular episode. And I believe it was because it was from the 40s and not from the 50s when the remainder of them came out.
Yeah, later, so, the later 40s, it was when it got really big. So like 48, I think, is when it really kicked off. So some things that were like 46, 45 are just kind of like, we're just trying things out kind of thing.
Okay, so in this particular case, the cat and mouse are named Jasper and Jinx, respectively. Jerry was named Jinx, Jasper was Tom. And they basically just fight around the house until Jasper is threatened to be thrown out of the house if he breaks another item. So yeah. This really, I put this on here. Obviously, I think you probably get why I put it on here. This really is what started Tom and Jerry. This For sure. episode is basically what every other episode becomes. Tom and Jerry are running around. Once in a while, there's a third character that gets really mad at Jerry and threatens to throw him out of the house. But
yeah.
The entire time, Tom and Jerry are basically running after each other. And what happens? Vases are broken and windows are broken and, you know, everything breaks. So I put this on here on the list because I think you just said it. It basically made what Tom and Jerry was.
Yeah, and I want to say for like the first year or what would we consider maybe season, I think they all involved them around that house with the same, I want to say it was a maid. I don't know. There might have been some.
Well, this
on
one
that,
has but... somebody named Mammy Two Shoes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it is racist. I had a feeling. Yeah. So it was the same maid in like the first like year of their existence that was always trying to get Tom out of the house because he was a problem. And she would like freak out when Jerry showed up, of course, because he's a mouse or, you know, Jasper and whatever. But yeah, she was always trying to like, I think she was swinging a broom. Now, this is off my memory, but I think she kept swinging a broom at Tom all the time, if I remember correctly, which is classic.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So the other thing I'm noticing is this one actually had voices in it. So both the cat and the mouse were voiced, and Mammy Two Shoes was voiced by multiple actors as the time went on. You did bring up a point, which again, I don't like getting too political, but yes, yeah. I know at this particular time, the rules were very different when it came to what was allowed to be on TV. This definitely should never be shown anywhere. Especially today, you know, this is definitely not something you'd ever want to go back to. But as we've said, you know, the time was the time. And
yeah,
there's no excuse. I'm sorry. I was just going to say there's no excuse. But, you know, what were we going to say?
Well, again, not to get too political or anything like that, but I know I have the Warner Brothers collection for the Looney Tunes. Before the animations or the cartoons start, they put out a warning saying, like, these are a product of their time, yada, yada, yada. Do you know if the Hanna-Barbera's do as well on like Boomerang?
Well, the ones we went over, of the ones we've talked, the only one I've seen recently was the Royal Catnap one, which was on a couple weeks ago, which yeah. really had no racial undertones as far as I can think. But because the channel has other cartoons now, like Ben 10 and the Teen Titans, and there's younger kids watching, I wouldn't be surprised if the studio itself was very strict on what is allowed to go out. There's no specific thing on the screen that says, you know, viewer beware. But I believe at this point, the studios should know better. And they probably said, okay, we're going to go through the list. And if anything is not okay, replace it with something else.
Yeah. That's, so probably like of the 70 or whatever that are out there, maybe only 50 or 60 of them are actually being aired. The other ones are in the archive. Yeah.
Right. And I think like what you have, like the Looney Tunes one, you can probably buy the collection, but I believe I would probably say that on the box, it probably says something like, you know, the thoughts and representations on here was whatever you said, the sign of the times.
Yeah.
You know, viewer beware, basically. I'm sure I would hope. I mean, I can't speak for them, but I would hope that they're smart enough to know that if somebody buys this and isn't familiar, they should put something that says, beware, there are some things on here that may be offensive to people.
Exactly. Yeah, it's on the boxes and it's on, before every animation. And that's just something that people have to do now to be safe. You know, it's just smart to do that.
It is. It's smart. So... like, and so this one actually was one of the other three that was also nominated for an Academy Award, probably because it was one of the first of the ones that were put out there. The title card was an MGM cartoon, which is funny that they're making a thing of that, because as far as I know, everything I've watched has always had the MGM cartoon, but I think it's a newer version of the MGM cartoon than what the original one was. They changed some wording, they changed some studio names. And like I said, when I see it on Boomerang, it's the lion and that's it. So maybe the MGM cartoon title was different back then. But as far as I remember, I've only seen one version of it. But, you know, again, when I was 10, I don't know what I was watching. So I could have seen it. I might not be recalling it.
And maybe when in production, the first like batch or whatever was done by another studio that got bought by MGM, you know, back then. Hollywood is always moving. Yeah.
That's true. Now, the other thing I'm noticing is that even at this point in time, there was fighting over who made the cartoons. A man named Rudolf Ising took sole credit, and he, to the point where he literally said a Rudolf Ising production, but it was later found out that multiple other people, including Fred Quimby and Hanna-Barbera, actually worked on it as well. I don't know what the rules were back then for copyright infringement. And again, this probably wasn't a copyright thing. This is probably just somebody being a a-hole about it. Yeah. But I would be damn sure to know that if that happened today, there'd be a lawsuit and, you know, they'd be taking the cartoon off the air until somebody figured out what the hell was going on.
Well, and just like Itchy and Scratchy, the same thing happened in Simpsons. Somebody else claimed the show was theirs and they had a big, the homeless gentleman said that he's the one that made Itchy and Scratchy. And then they had a whole thing where they put Itchy and Scratchy out of business for a bit. It was great.
Right. And it's funny because I think even the idea of those two being other characters, I mean, The Simpsons knows how to go to the line without crossing it and just get away with the exact thing.
Yeah.
Like they're good at that. They're
for sure.
So funny enough, as we were just talking about how a lot of these cartoons did have some racial inappropriateness in it. One reason, the actual reason why Boomerang took this off the air in 2006 was not the racial tones, but because smoking was condoned, acceptable, and glamorized.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting. I guess that puts you in a mind frame of what they were thinking, that it was okay with the portrayal of the characters, but, you know, but, oh, saying smoking is okay, that's not good. I don't really know. Obviously, I don't want to get too political, but I find that a little odd because nowadays, every show, every cartoon has some sort of alcohol and smoking in it. Now, maybe because they're not really focusing on it, that's the difference. But I find that a little contradictory only because many shows and TV and movies don't really take it upon themselves to worry about that.
Some do still, though. I know, for example, Constantine in Legends of Tomorrow, The first season that he was able to join the Legends, they forced him to not be able to, or I think the second season, they made sure he couldn't smoke on there. So they actually almost, to a joking degree, he's about to smoke, and he's like, I'm going to go outside with this. He keeps doing that kind of thing, whatever, where you don't see him actually smoke on TV.
There but was if somebody you know the character, too, you know that he...
always has a cigarette in his mouth. But yeah, I'm looking at some images now. Tom and Jerry both, they try to, I think the thing is they try to look cool while smoking, which is the problem. And which is much of the Joe Camel thing where it's clearly advertising coolness to kids through smoking. That's the issue, I think.
Yeah, that's fair. And again, I'm not here to say that I approve anybody right, showing yeah, that yeah. kind of stuff. But I also just find it very interesting that because of what else is going on in the episode, this was the one thing they were concerned about and nothing yeah. else. Just seems a little strange.
There's a lot of issues that could be fast forward almost 100 years.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of issues here. Now, last piece of trivia here. This is the longest Tom and Jerry episode released in the golden era. So the originals. I think though, at this point, the ones that I've seen are probably no more than maybe 10 minutes, if that. I'm counting in the commercial time and stuff like that as well. So again, another sign of the times. People don't want to sit down too long and think too much when it comes to cartoons. You'll notice that unless it's something like The Simpsons, which is a half an hour or 25 minutes, most other kids' cartoons are probably no more than 5 or 6 minutes, just to kind of keep them focused, but not too long where they kind of just fall asleep and lose focus on it.
Right. Yeah.
Now, granted, there are series such as, like I mentioned earlier, Ben 10 and Teen Titans that are also half-hour shows, but that's also for a different crowd of people that actually wants to follow more or less a cartoon show.
Yeah, and some shows like SpongeBob SquarePants, Adventure Time, they do 2 11-minute episodes, which is kind of in vain of these old Tom and Jerry's and okay. stuff like that. Yeah.
And those two together equals about a half an hour time slot. So
yeah, because with commercials, it's 22 to 23 minutes plus commercials makes the half an hour time slot.
There you go. Okay, so the only error that somebody found this was during a scene where Jinx the mouse is carrying a champagne glass, he disappears for a single frame. Again, probably just a quick error on their part.
Yeah.
Nothing really to look into other than just, you know, probably an accidental thing. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well, we had some fun. I learned some new stuff. This definitely opened my eyes. Obviously, awesome to have you as always. I think I got you back next week as well. So be prepared to be scared, as I say.
Good.
You're like, oh God. So before we sign off really quick, what do you guys have set up for the rest of January?
We finally relaunched the website now so that it's a little bit cleaner and just full of news and whatnot. And podcast wise, the next episode is just going to be a ton of news. Today, the day we're recording this, we released a bonus episode about Star Trek Voyager.
Just I heard more about and that more stuff. News the other
day, yeah, it's 25th anniversary for Star Trek Voyager. It's pretty great.
There you go. Happy anniversary to all of them.
Oh, yeah.
All right, cool. And then on my end, of course, we got all the stuff coming up. As I just said, all of my fandom buddies are stuck with me here on this podcast. I keep them locked in a cell in the basement. Just kidding. That silence concerns me right there.
Awkward. Run, guys, run.
I don't remember referring to that. No, just kidding. So got some live events coming up. Yeah, I think you guys said you would be in the area. I'm not sure. So hopefully I'll get you guys to come down.
Once you have it set up, let us know, and then we'll see what we can do about getting down there.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. So I hope you enjoyed this one. This was a throwback of the happier kind, more or less, except for a couple disturbing moments. So parents, don't let your kids listen. Just, you know.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So until next time, stay nerdy. Bye.
Bye.